I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Kelly Christo, Executive Director for Project 150. The nonprofit organization provides support and services to homeless, displaced, and disadvantaged high school students so they can remain in school, graduate, and build bright futures. Their annual fall celebration party is coming up, followed by some holiday initiatives. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So why was Project 150 originally founded?
So it was started based off of a news story back in 2011 that featured 150 homeless kids at Rancho High School that were going to be without services during the winter break. So our co-founders rallied their friends together and bought some gift cards and clothing and food to get these kids through the holiday season until they could return back to the classroom, which in some cases, the classroom is like a lifeline for students that don't have access to food and stuff like that. So here we are 12 years later and serving now 75 local high schools and over 7,000 students a year.
Wow, that's quite the growth. So why is it called Project 150?
So the 150 resembles the 150 homeless kids at Rancho when we started 12 years ago.
Okay, nice. So what does Project 150 do that's unique in the Las Vegas community compared to other organizations that also help homeless teens?
So I think for us, we're a one-stop shop facility. So we have everything that a high school student could need or would need in order to stay in school and graduate. So from free clothing, I mean, we're talking 10 outfits for free a month using only their student ID. We're talking non-perishable food for the household, immediate access to food that we deliver every week to all 75 high schools, school supplies, caps and gowns for graduation, prom attire for prom and homecoming. We do the holiday meal. So I feel like we're different in the aspect that it's a one-stop shop. A student could come to us, get everything that they could possibly think of and everything that they could possibly need to stay in school. We don't send them out to other places other than for mental health, because that's just not something that we do, although we do partner with agencies that offer counseling for family and individual youth.
Okay. How big is the teen homelessness problem in Southern Nevada?
So according to last year's data, there was over 12,000 students registered in the Clark County School District that were either homeless, displaced. High school-wise, I don't know what the accurate number is this season. They're just recording that data since we're only a couple weeks into the start of the school year. However, last year, there was over 5,000 that were in high school alone.
Wow. So you mentioned that the kids go to school to get kind of a sense of stability. But can you give us a few more details? Because to me, if you're homeless, you know, that's a lot to deal with. So dealing with school on top of that wouldn't necessarily be the first thing I would think that those kids would want to do. So why do they continue going to high school?
So you and me both, Heather, I don't think that'd be the top of our list, right? Like, hey, right, that's school. We're, you know, we're in a situation. But I think for most kids, in chatting with them and talking to them in our office and in our boutique, a lot of it is, one, it's a safe space, right? So they're escaping something in the household that's not a safe space. And school is that safe space. It's a place where they go for, you know, 6 hours of the day that they get to socialize with, you know, students their age, and you know, there's no abuse, or there's things that aren't present in the household. I think that for some kids, school is an outlet and it's the safe space, so they continue to go. Not only that, a lot of them, they really have a desire to get their high school diploma and build a better life for their family down the road. I mean, they've watched their grandparents or their parents go through and struggle. They look at it and say, I don't want to do that. And the first step is obviously getting a high school diploma so that they can, you know, find a job and then hopefully go to college and land a career.
Yeah, awesome. So I guess it brings that kind of sense of normalcy to their life.
Yeah, it does. A lot of the students that we work with, you know, they're the primary breadwinner in the household, which is sad to say at 13, 14, 15 years old. But some of them have parents that are disabled and can't work. So the student goes to school and then works and is the head of household a lot of times in these situations.
Wow. So you mentioned the boutique. Tell us more about the boutique.
The boutique is a really cool, trendy atmosphere where kids can come with their high school ID only. That's the only documentation we require. And they can shop for 10 free outfits a month, shoes, full-size hygiene product, clothes, school supplies, non-perishable food items, whatever they would need. It's also kind of fun because it's a place where they get to learn a little bit of independence. Most of the students haven't picked out their own clothing. They've been used to hand-me-downs, so they don't even know their own sizes. So it's an opportunity for them to go shopping in a boutique or a mall style, you know, atmosphere with their peers. So they come together, they shop together, they have a great experience. And then, you know, once a month, they can come utilize the boutique for whatever they need.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously you need funds to offer all these services and resources to kids who are experiencing homelessness. So tell us about the annual fall celebration party that you've got coming up.
So every October, we host our annual fall celebration. It's our anniversary party. It's a fun, upbeat party. It's not gala style, but it's our one opportunity where we have our volunteers, our staff, our team, our board members, our donors, all in one room so we can thank them for all their support. It's fun, it's food, it's entertainment, it's a silent auction component where we can raise some unrestricted revenue for the upcoming year. It's the one ask we do every year just to make sure we are self-sustaining. We do not utilize government funds, so all of our funding comes 100% from this community.
When and where is the fall celebration party happening this year?
This year's gala or fall fundraiser celebration is October 26th. It is at Illuminarium. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. Chet Buchanan is our MC and Zoe Bowie is our live entertainment.
Oh, I love both those guys. That's awesome. All right. And also in October, you open up the annual scholarship. What's the scholarship all about?
So our scholarship program provides students that want to move on to higher education an opportunity to do so without taking out student loans. So Project 150 scholarship program provides funding for all 4 years of university or 2 years of a trade degree program. Every year we award in June. This past June, we awarded 96 students with funding in excess of $250,000. And so we'll have some of those students repeating this year to move on to their second, third, or hopefully their senior year of college. And we get them through all the way to the end. So that's a really big piece and important part of our scholarship program is that we want to make sure we see it through the end. We don't want to just give them funding one time and then have them figure out how they continue their education. Because like you and I know, most people wouldn't go back if they knew if they didn't have the money for that. But we invest in them the entire way around.
Wow, that's great. All right. Now, what do you have going on for the holiday season?
During the holidays, we do our Feed It Forward program. So Thanksgiving and Christmas, we work directly with our school contacts. They let us know which students are in need of a holiday meal. And then Project 150 comes together with hundreds of volunteers to put together a full holiday meal at Thanksgiving. So it's a 8 to 10 pound turkey, all the sides. We deliver directly to the schools. And then at Christmas, we do a full size ham and all the sides. Usually we do around 2,000 both holidays. So 2,000 meals for Thanksgiving and 2,000 meals for Christmas.
That's incredible. All right. You mentioned that you need hundreds of volunteers to pull that off. So if someone is listening and they wanted to become involved as a volunteer with all the various things you've got going on, how would they do that?
So it's real simple to get involved with us, you know, starting at project150.org. Our website's really easy to navigate. You just click on the volunteer tab. We've got two locations in town now, so you could pick whatever location you wanted to work at or volunteer with us at. And then we also offer different experiences. So if someone has retail background and would like to volunteer in the boutique, that's an opportunity. If they just want to do the holiday meals, those are great for corporate sponsors that like to bring, you know, a whole team out of 40 or 50 people to do a team building exercise. And then there's just daily opportunities with us where we're always packing the non-perishable food bags that go out every week. I mean, we deliver to 75 schools every Thursday and Friday during the academic year. So we could use all the hands. We're a small staff of 10.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You need lots of volunteers to pull all that off.
Always.
All right. So you said the website's project150.org. So if they go to project150.org, they can find out more about all the things that Project 150 does.
Everything. I mean, we post all of our volunteer opportunities, everything we've got going on. It links to our social media, all of our upcoming events. It talks about Prom Closet in March. It talks about the scholarship opportunities. We even go as far as we post our financials, our 990s, and our audits on there too. We are a fully transparent organization, and we believe in sharing that information with our donors and any prospective donors out there.
Okay. And how do people get tickets if they want to attend the Fall Celebration fundraising party?
Oh, that's simple too. So project150.givesmart.com for tickets to the fall fundraiser. Also, you can text Project 150 to 76278 and get tickets. There's some really cool silent auction items up there. I think there's something for everybody right now. So it'd be great if somebody would jump on there, get some tickets, and come out and celebrate with us.
Yeah, awesome. And once again, that event is happening October 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Illuminarium.
Correct.
All right. Awesome. So once again, the website for Project 150 is project150.org. You can find out about all the things that they're doing, all the things that Kelly mentioned, which sounds like there's something going on all the time. There's a lot of teens to take care of here in the Las Vegas Valley. So you can also find out about the Project 150 scholarship program, Feed It Forward, which is coming up for the holiday season, all their other events and initiatives. And then if you want to get tickets to the Fall Celebration fundraising party, project150.givesmart.com is the website for that, project150.givesmart.com, or text project150 to 76278. So 76278. And you type in Project 150 and send the text, and you can get tickets that way. And once again, the main website, project150.org. And Kelly, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know all the things you guys are doing. It's incredible, the programs and the events that you have going on. And I can just imagine what an amazing difference you're making in the lives of these teens who are experiencing homelessness, or they're displaced or disadvantaged. And you're giving them one less thing to worry about, or many less things to worry about. So thank you for sharing the story. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Heather. I appreciate you.
After I lost my mom, I lost my way. Then I found youth advocate programs, behavioral health services.
As a little kid, I made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
YAP gives communities alternatives to residential care, youth incarceration, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, nearly 90% of participants remain in their community. YAP works.
I'm working towards a bright future.
Youth advocate programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn more at yapinc.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Patrick Lindsay, Executive Director of the Shriners Children's Open. Patrick joined the Children's Open in 2015, and his son is also a Shriners success story. Patrick, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Heather. It's great to be on.
So we've all heard of the organization, but what exactly is Shriners International?
Well, Shriners is a really special organization, especially for me and my family. As you just said, my son received some services from them. But, you know, at their core, they are this now 101-year-old specialty medical center for pediatrics. At the end of the day, there are several kind of specialties that they see. Those specialties include orthopedic issues, prosthetics, burn care, left lip, left palate, spinal cord injuries. And it's all regardless of the family's ability to pay, which really kind of truly makes it special. There are 21 locations, 19 in the United States, one in Montreal, Canada, and one in Mexico City, Mexico. So an international organization truly focused on making the everyday life of our children through those specialty care initiatives that I brought up before, so that they can make sure that they're always providing the most amazing care anywhere, is what we like to say.
Wow, awesome. So what is your personal story with your son and the Shriners?
Yeah, so I became a Shriners employee in 2015, and really at the time did not know all that Shriners did for families and all the specialties that they saw. When we were interviewing for the position and ultimately got it and moved the family out here to Las Vegas, we were in South Florida, Miami specifically, and we have a child with special needs who was born extremely premature. And through his life so far, and he's now 11 and he's awesome, he has CP. And Shriners, although they don't, one of their specialties is not neurology, they do track his orthopedic development and his growth. And as he has grown, as he has gotten bigger, he has had some different issues that Shriners was able to address. So really, this job for me, I mean, it's so meaningful for me, and it's so perfect for me because I love golf. I love this organization. I get to speak intelligently about the services that they provide as we have received them. But I get to kind of tell this whole story, whether it's about my son or about Shriners and the great work that they do through this sport that I love in golf and PGA Tour golf. So it's a really special organization. It's a special sport. And I get to kind of bring those two things together and share a meaningful story.
Yeah, that's great. So speaking of that, tell us more about the Shriners Children's Open.
Yeah, so this year, October 9th through the 15th, that is a Monday through Sunday that's coming up. But we are a professional golf tournament. We'll be hosting 132 of the world's best golfers during that week. Shriners Children's is the title sponsor of the event. This is the 16th year that Shriners has been the title sponsor of this event. And also, this is the 40th year. So we have a little milestone, a celebration of 40 years of consecutive PGA Tour golf here in the Valley. So we'll get to celebrate that in its own way during tournament week. But we'll be able to host around 50 to 70,000 spectators, sponsors, ticket purchasers in our gates here at TPC Summerlin and just have a lot of fun outdoor activities while we're watching great golf inside the ropes. And most importantly, a celebration of Shriners and the great work that they do for our children, regardless of their family's ability to pay, and every dollar that is generated going straight back to the organization.
Nice. Okay. So unlike other nonprofit fundraising golf tournaments, this isn't one where people can sign up and play because you've got professionals playing. So who are some of the players this year?
Yeah, really great question. And you are correct. Sometimes people get confused. They think this is just another kind of Monday charity outing. This is a PGA Tour event. There are still ways for amateurs to play. And we have a championship pro-am where an amateur gets to walk and play 18 holes with a professional golfer, which is really, truly a special experience. But this year, we're welcoming him back, really one of the most exciting players on the PGA Tour right now. And that's actually our defending champion, Mr. Tom Kim. Tom won our tournament last year and had a great, as a rookie on the PGA Tour, had a great rookie campaign. And this year has followed that up with a top 15 finish in the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup. And we're really excited to have him come back. We'll obviously have some of our previous champions come back and play. We'll have some Las Vegas locals as well. And that's something of the story that we want to always kind of share. One local in particular, his name is Taylor Montgomery, born and raised here, went to UNLV, now a PGA Tour player, playing now for his second year in a row here. We're really excited to have him. But ultimately, again, we'll have 132 of some of the best players in the world as they're trying to battle to be our champion.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned that the proceeds are going to support the Shriners. How exactly does the fundraising work for this? Is it just ticket prices?
That's just one way. But ultimately, there's several ways. Myself and members of my team, just like the Las Vegas Raiders, the Vegas Golden Knights, Las Vegas Motor Speedway, we plan for this event year round. And we are out in the community talking about sponsorship sales, ticket sales, hospitality, branding efforts. And through all of those, from us just erecting a hospitality venue on the 17th hole or on the 18th hole, and then selling those tickets to companies who are interested in VIP entertainment, that is a way that those companies, for instance, MGM, would support Shriners through buying hospitality assets to come out and enjoy the event. But every dollar that is generated through this tournament, whether it's hospitality sales, playing opportunities, branding opportunities, you know, just going on our website, shrinerschildrens.com, and purchasing a ticket, or just going on that website and donating. There's a donation link. Any of those goes back to support Shriners Children's and the organization.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned that it's happening at TPC Summerlin. Now, Las Vegas Valley has some of the most beautiful golf courses in the world, I think, and, you know, plenty of them. But is TPC Summerlin the only official PGA golf course in the Valley?
There's actually two that are owned and operated by the PGA Tour. That is TPC Summerlin. And then right next door, there is TPC Las Vegas. And this tournament at one point was hosted at both locations at the same time. We are now only hosted here at TPC Summerlin, but remain very close and active with our friends over at TPC Las Vegas.
Cool. Okay. Now, you mentioned that one amateur gets to play. How exactly does that work?
So it's called our Championship Pro-Am, and week in and week out on the PGA Tour, there are Championship Pro-Am opportunities that are available for sale. So it is really our top-of-the-line VIP red carpet experience for that major golfer, that major golf fan. So we are able to sell 144 amateur playing opportunities to play on Wednesday during a practice round, and they get paired up with one PGA Tour player for nine holes and then a second PGA Tour player for the other nine holes. And it's truly a 4 to 5 hour experience where you get to walk the fairways and play golf with one of the best golfers in the world. And that experience is really, truly unique, in my opinion, to professional sports, because week in and week out, this happens in every market around the country where you get to have that opportunity if you buy into it. But if you think about the NFL or hockey or motorsports or basketball or baseball or whatever, those type of opportunities don't really exist. Like, I am not going to line up on the other side of the line of scrimmage to an offensive or defensive lineman. I'm not going to battle on the post, you know, with Shaquille O'Neal or whoever, right? So right. This is just one of those opportunities that is unique to PGA Tour golf, where you get to literally tee it up, walk inside the ropes, down the fairways with some of the best golfers in the world. And it's a really fun, unique experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So where can people go if they want to find out more information about the Shriners Children's Open, or if they want to buy tickets to the event, or even buy into becoming one of the championship pro-am?
Yeah, great question. And it's all listed on our website, shrinerschildrensopen.com. There's information on how you can become a sponsor or play in that championship pro-am. We have a lot of different ticket packages that are available for sale, anywhere from a $30 general admission ticket. We have a $125 ticket, like an upgraded ticket that includes drinks and a new venue called Club 360 that is sponsored by High Noon this year. And then we have a fully food and beverage inclusive experience in a structure called The Spot, presented by USA Today Sports, that goes for around $300. That is really a nice, fun, lively experience on the 17th hole. We also have, just so everyone knows, something that is really unique to us and goes hand in hand with the mission of the charity, where we are providing services to children, regardless of their family's ability to pay. Any child that is 18 years or younger gets into our event for free with a paid adult. So it's really affordable for that family of four, for instance, to come to our event with two kids. They can get into the event for $30 per adult, $60 total, plus their two kids, and have a really great experience on site.
Nice. Okay. Now, obviously, the Shriners Children's Open PGA Golf Tournament is an amazing event. But what if some of the listeners have kids in their families and they're like, You know what? That fits me. How would they find out more about the services and programs that Shriners International has?
Yeah. And really, at the end of the day, Heather, this is exactly why we are a title sponsor of a PGA Tour event, because we want to get the word out about what Shriners does and how they can help children really throughout the world. The PGA Tour and their broadcast arm reaches over 200 countries and territories. We're on the Golf Channel broadcast for over 40 hours. So this is why your question is why we're doing it. We want to help as many kids out there as possible. But really, the best way, as always, to learn how you can get care from Shriners is to go to their website, shrinerschildrens.org. There are locations and services that are listed on that and ways to get in touch with the organization. They can also come to our event. And there are countless ways here on site, from finding a tournament staff, from finding a Shriner themselves in their fez hats. You won't be able to miss them. Talking to one of our info booths or our box office where our ticket sales and will call office are, any of those locations, you'll be able to get in touch with someone if they need help for their child.
Okay, so the Shriners will be wearing the iconic fez hats, but will they be driving the little teeny cars as well?
That's a great question. Unfortunately not, but that would be a lot of fun if they're allowed on site with all of those.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if you want to find out more about Shriners International, Shriners Children's, and you want to look for services for your kids or find out about the programs that they do, it's shrinerschildrens.org, shrinerschildrens.org. Now, if you want to take part or attend or sign up to be a sponsor, sign up to be a championship pro-am or any of the things that we've been talking about today, shrinerschildrensopen.com is the website for the Shriners Children's Open. This is a PGA Tour golf tournament, so professional golfers are playing, but you can have the opportunity to play along with them on one of the days if you become one of the champion pro-ams. So that website again, shrinerschildrensopen.com, and again, it's happening at TPC Summerlin from October 9th to October 15th, shrinerschildrensopen.com. And Patrick, I want to thank you so much for being here, letting us know more about the organization, the amazing stuff that they're doing, how they've helped your family and your son, and this amazing PGA golf tournament that's happening right here in the Valley. So I really appreciate your time and sharing with us. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate you having me on.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Jeff Lebo, Executive Producer and Director of Development for the NF Hope Concert. Jeff is a former star of the Tony Award-winning musical Jersey Boys. He started the NF Hope Concert with his wife Melody to support advocacy and research for patients with neurofibromatosis like their daughter Emma. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So what exactly is neurofibromatosis?
Neurofibromatosis, or NF, is a genetic disorder of the nervous system that's characterized by tumors that can grow on any nerve in the body at any time. That's kind of the basics of it. Then there are a slew of symptoms that kind of come along with it. Everything from benign symptoms like birthmark type spots, café au lait spots, to maybe more moderate like learning disorders, attention disorders, deafness, blindness, and more severe symptoms that include incurable cancers and death. So it definitely runs the gamut, but it is more importantly something that doesn't have a cure. And that's kind of why I do what I do.
How common is NF?
The prevalence is about 1 in 2,500 that are born with it. It's considered a rare disease, but it is without a doubt one of the most common of the rare diseases.
Yeah, and with it covering such a gamut of symptoms, I mean, I would imagine that it's possibly hard to diagnose and track down.
You know, it's getting better. It used to be that many doctors maybe they'd heard of it, but they really didn't know how to diagnose it. Now, I don't necessarily know that that is as much of an issue, except in more rural areas.
Okay. So how did your life change when your daughter was diagnosed with it?
I just kind of took life in a totally different trajectory. I mean, I was in Jersey Boys at the time, and my wife and I immediately got involved in figuring out how to help Emma, our daughter. And as we learned more about it, the tens of thousands living with NF, and it continues to take us down that sort of new path that started, gosh, 13 years ago.
Wow. So what is the NF Hope Concert?
The NF Hope Concert came actually out of a conversation that I had very early on in our NF journey. My wife and I heard about NF. We sort of, Emma was diagnosed with it, and we started looking it up online. And it's incredibly frightening what you see online when you're searching, especially when you don't know better. And so eventually I connected with the executive director of a national organization called Neurofibromatosis Network. And it was in that conversation she asked what I could do. And I thought, well, I had this Gershwin-esque idea. I could put on a show in a barn. It just so happens that our barn was the Las Vegas Hilton, where Elvis that Elvis made famous. But that's kind of the where it was born, in that conversation. And born again when somebody asked at the end of the first concert, when I thought it was just going to be one and done. Somebody asked when the next one was. And here we are 13 years later.
Wow. So every year for the past 13 years, you've been holding this NF Hope Concert?
Yeah, it started just in Vegas, and I had dreams of expanding it elsewhere. And in 2017, I did my very first event in New York City. And in 2018, I added Chicago onto that, which is the home of NF Network. And yeah, we've kind of continued. And of course, during the pandemic, we dove headfirst into virtual concerts. And so I guess in a way, we've gone worldwide, thanks to our virtual audience. But I'm already looking at additional markets where there are NF families, NF communities that are underrepresented.
What kind of music is it typically?
Well, in Vegas, it's what we have access to. That's true in any city. In New York, obviously, I would choose from the Broadway crowd. Here, I get a much broader selection of performers. You know, I've met so many along the way. So some of the people that will show up on stage are people that were in shows at the time that I was in Jersey Boys. Others are headliners. I've met along the way a number of American Idol contestants, and we have Jasmine Trias is one of them. It's coming back again, and it really kind of runs the gamut. But I'd say it probably leans a little bit more pop in Las Vegas, because that's the performers that are available.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas performers, you can't go wrong, right?
It's going to
be an extravaganza.
Of course.
When is the next one that's happening in Las Vegas?
The next concert is our 13th annual NF Hope Concert, and it is at the Smith Center on October 22nd. That's a Sunday at 1 p.m.
Okay, and who do you have performing this year?
We have the incredible Tamara Walker. If you haven't heard her voice, you need to go online and search up Tamara Walker. She is unbelievable. And we have Ben Stone and Jasmine Trias. I mentioned her just a moment ago. She was a finalist in the second season of American Idol, and he has made a name for himself all over the UK. We have the Las Vegas Academy Choir, who's coming to join us. And my wife and daughter and I always do a song. And then we have a few more that we're just waiting for confirmation on, and we'll announce soon. But it's going to be an amazing group of singers.
Awesome. Okay. So now you're the NF Hope Concert guy, but you mentioned the NF Network. How does the NF Hope Concert fit into the NF Network umbrella?
That's a great question. When we first started the NF Hope Concert, we just wanted to give back to an organization, and we had already connected with NF Network. So we just kind of said, we're going to give whatever we make to them. And in addition, you know, NF Network, there are a couple of national organizations that help the neurofibromatosis community, and NF Network just works in a way that makes sense to me. They're a grassroots organization, very focused on those people living with NF. And so from that very first year, we've just continued giving 100% of the proceeds from the NF Hope concerts in Las Vegas and New York and Chicago to NF Network to keep their programs going and to, you know, help them offer some new programs they didn't have before we started giving to them.
Nice. Okay. So what if someone's listening and they have someone in the family or a loved one that they know who also has neurofibromatosis and they're looking for support? Where would they find out more about the NF Network?
The best place to start is their website. If they just go to nfnetwork.org, that will take them to the site. There are a number of resources, including just a simple doc finder if they need to find a doctor in their area who might specialize in NF, but also a way to sign up to what we call it to be informed. And it's a great way to get updates with scientific research, with events that are coming up, get-togethers with other NF families so that they can get the resources that they need. And really, the get-together with the NF families, I probably say, is one of the most important ones, because with a rare disease, it is so easy when you've faced this diagnosis to feel alone. And it's so important for people to know that they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And where can people go if they want to find out more information about the NF Hope concert that's coming up, or get tickets to this year's show, the 13th annual?
Well, all of the information is actually on our auction page, but it's a little bit wordy of a URL. So the easiest place to start is nfhope.org. And if they scan down to tickets, they can get links to our auction, links to our ticket sales at the Smith Center, or they can just go straight to the Smith Center website and get tickets there.
Okay. And what's being auctioned off in the auction?
We have awesome packages. We've actually got a great hotel packages, including a 2-night package with the Venetian. We've got some of the best restaurants in town that are giving to us. Bouchon is always incredibly generous, along with many, many others. And we've got show tickets, a list of show tickets, and even more. We'll actually have those things available for preview on our auction site for those people who register now. And then the auction will open about 10 days before the concert.
All right. And, you mentioned you were in, we mentioned you were in Jersey Boys, and we know obviously that you perform also in the NF Hope concert, but what else are you doing musically these days?
It's funny you should ask. We, four of us who used to be in Jersey Boys here in Las Vegas together, decided to start a group called the Formers, F-O-U-R Formers. And we created a show along with the help of our friend Sal Cuco, who brought us all together. And it's kind of our story about spreading out into the country, but making our way back to Las Vegas to be this new group. And so our show includes a bunch of the Four Seasons tunes, as well as other influences that helped us get from wherever we were back to Vegas. And I'll be excited to announce some new dates coming up for that at South Point, hopefully in the next few weeks.
All right, fantastic. All right. So if you want to find out more about neurofibromatosis, or you're looking for services for yourself, a loved one, nfnetwork.org is the website to go to for that, nfnetwork.org. Now, if you are looking to take part in the NF Hope concert, which is coming up on Sunday, October 22nd, 1 p.m. at the Smith Center, you can get tickets to that show at nfhope.org. nfhope.org, and it's put on by Jeff Lebo, formerly of the Jersey Boys, currently of the Formers, F-O-U-R-M-E-R-S. Love a play on words. can't fault you for that. Love it. So currently of the Formers, but most importantly, he'll be part of the NF Hope concert, which is coming up again. This is the 13th annual on Sunday, October 22nd, 1 p.m. at the Smith Center. And again, tickets can be had, or more information, or auction items can be seen at nfhope.org. And Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know what you're doing. You know, it seems like a lot of great things in life come out of tragedy. And that's definitely the story here is, you faced personal tragedy and setback in your family, but you turned it around into something positive, and you're making a difference for so many people around the world. So I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about it and letting us know about the concert, which, incredible longevity, 13 years. That's fantastic. So congratulations and good luck with the Formers as well.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. This cause obviously means a lot to me, and I really appreciate you letting me tell some folks about it.
Learning your child has cancer causes an emotional and financial crisis. Often the best place for treatment is far from home. But with the help of the National Children's Cancer Society, children battling cancer can get to life-saving treatment, whether it's across town or across the country. To learn how we give families hope and give their children the best shot at survival, visit thenccs.org. That's THENCCS.org. Because no family should go through childhood cancer alone.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Billy J. Hensley, President and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education. Millions of Americans with student loan debt are about to start repayments after a three-year pause. In a new survey, the nonprofit National Endowment for Financial Education found that nearly half of borrowers are worried that this will negatively impact their lives. Dr. Hensley, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So what exactly is the National Endowment for Financial Education?
NEFI is what we call ourselves for short. We're a private operating foundation. We're headquartered in Denver. We work nationally, and we spend our time being champions of effective financial education. And we do that through convenings. We do it through traditional research projects as well as opinion polling so that we can help overall promote financial health and what that means for individuals and their families.
Okay. Now, what does your survey reveal about borrower mindset around resuming student loan payments and how that might impact their financial lives?
Right. As you said early on, we're over 3 years without payments. And for the first time in over 3 years, we're accruing interest and payments are due. And with this poll, we wanted to explore the potential impact on individuals' family finances and that of their inner circle, meaning spouses, children, grandchildren, even in some instances. And, you know, half are worried, like you said. 83% will have to make financial changes, and another 23% will anticipate cutting their budgets or making financial changes to their budgets between $500 and $1,000 a month, with an additional 1 in 10 cutting their budget more than $1,000 a month. So when you include the inner circle and the sort of the broader ramification of repayment beginning, that's around 25% of U.S. adults who may need to cut their discretionary spending or their overall spending, and this will likely be felt in the local and national economy.
You know, it sounds simple. Oh, we'll just cut $500 to $1,000 per month from our spending. But for a lot of families, that's a lot. How are they planning to manage that, and how would you recommend that they do?
Well, right. You're exactly right on this is a lot of money. You know, our data show that 2/3 of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Lots of surveys support that statistic or approximate to that statistic. And I think really what people have to do is just sit down and look at their overall budget and look at where there's room, if any, and how to do this. Most people continued to make payments, half even, made most or all payments. We're looking at about 30% of borrowers who did not make any payments, and this is where the shock is going to be felt the most. I think if people can begin to look at repayment options, what kind of programs they can qualify for in terms of forgiveness or lower payments, begin there at studentaid.gov, and they have a great calculator and simulator to get you in the right plan for your circumstance. And maybe some people will qualify for reduced payments. There are new products and, I guess, repayment options available that are emerging just now in the last few months with the Department of Education. So that's the best place to start because the repayment may not be as high as they are anticipating.
Okay. So just to clarify, you said that most borrowers were continuing with their monthly payments throughout the pause, even though they didn't have to make payments and even though it wasn't accruing interest, they still kept up with those payments.
That's right. That's the silver lining, really, is that half made all or most of their payments.
Okay. Now, how does repaying student loans affect a borrower's ability to seek further education and get further financial loans?
You know, the vast majority of people are satisfied with their education, but 47% are less likely to pursue additional education as this repayment pause ends. 38% are more likely to pursue that, but really what it comes down to is how much you owe. The higher the balance, the less likely you are to take on additional education. And the way I've always framed this topic of student loans in particular is that it's an investment in yourself. I myself was the first person in my family to go to college, and I had to really negotiate and understand the return on that investment, the cost of the degree, the earning potential, how much money I borrowed. in that space. And I think that's what a lot of people are contending with at this moment. Even though most people are satisfied, they may have to pursue additional education later or maybe not at all.
Okay. Now, as former students are launching their professional lives after college and they're being followed around by these student loan payments, we know a lot of people go further into debt when this happens. So what can people do to kind of alleviate that pressure as they're embarking on their professional lives?
Right. You know, there's two or three important steps to consider here, and knowing the impact that this is going to have on their budget. You know, we're all going to have to make hard choices in this process. But for anyone who's in high school now, who's in college now, ask about financial education instruction. What we have found is that schools or states where this is a graduation requirement, the total debt when you graduate from college is lower. The student loan debt is lower. Your revolving debt is lower. Your credit scores are higher. And so that's a good place to start. For all of those who are in repayment or about to begin repayment, really look at, you know, getting in the right repayment plan. There are calculators and simulators, as I mentioned, on studentaid.gov, and looking at the right, most beneficial plan for your circumstance. If you're considering consolidation, please look at the difference between the public and the private loans, because some private loans do not qualify for certain relief options. And many millions of Americans likely qualify for certain levels of relief, whether that's loan forgiveness, whether that's lower payments, whether it's payments tied to your income. Watch out for scams as well. There's a lot of attention on this right now. Do everything you can to protect your information. You know, if something's too good to be true, it is. There is no fee to apply for relief. And paying a fee will not improve your odds or speed up your approval or even increase your likelihood that you will get any kind of relief at all, depending on the program. So start with studentaid.gov for the best, most vetted information.
Okay. Now, speaking of financial education, once upon a time, they didn't teach financial education in schools at all. And I think it's getting a lot better. But for those who didn't get financial education in school or are in school now and don't have access to financial education, where can they learn about these financial topics so they're better equipped to navigate through life's finances?
Right. Well, most high schools, the guidance department, most colleges, the financial aid department, student affairs will have information where people can learn about personal finance. We have made progress, though, to your point, that we are now in 23 states that have a graduation requirement for financial education. So we're making headway. You know, we're going to keep going, hopefully, until we get to 50. But there's great information at schools, studentaid.gov, the Department of Education, you know, understanding the differences between scholarships, grants, and loans, for example, understanding how to borrow the right amount for school, don't overborrow, and then continuing to investigate the difference between public and private loans so that you know which features that each have. And then continue to ask yourself, continue to center yourself on the long-term sort of return on that investment, the earning potential and the degree. But studentaid.gov, if you don't have any financial education or financial aid information in your school, start there.
Okay, awesome. So you've mentioned studentaid.gov if people want to find out more about borrowing and use the calculators. Now, what if people wanted to find out more about the National Endowment for Financial Education or even see what was in the survey?
Yes, please go to nefe.org. You'll find our latest data and information there. And if you're interested in curriculum or learning about personal finance just yourself, self-taught, go to the Jumpstart Coalition Clearinghouse. They have vetted materials in that clearinghouse for all different age groups. And it's a good place to get some of the basic information for personal finance.
Okay, nice. So the Jumpstart Coalition Clearinghouse, if you're looking for financial education, if you'd like to find out more about the National Endowment for Financial Education or NEFE, just go to nefe.org, which is nefe.org. And if you're looking for information on student aid and you want to use the calculators, figure out how you're going to repay the debt, studentaid.gov is the place to go. And Dr. Hensley, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know the mindset around the country, around starting student loan payments again, and some tips that people can use both now and in the future. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
When a student lacks some of the most basic needs,
like food, clothing, and school supplies,
it can be challenging to even attend school.
It can be hard to study, tough to concentrate, impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue every day.
Out in the community, there are great resources for students, and we bring these resources directly to the students who need them most.
We work to ensure that they have everything they need to re-engage in learning in the classroom and at home,
including access to technology, learning materials,
and even emotional support.
By forging caring relationships with students and bringing communities of support to them,
our staff works to achieve equitable learning conditions so all kids can succeed in school and in life. And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Collaboration Center Foundation's third annual Night en Blanc Gala is happening next Thursday, October 5th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center's campus on Las Vegas Ranch, windmill between Durango and Buffalo. Celebrate under the white lights while experiencing the beautiful new campus build-out. Get tickets or more information at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. The Nevada chapter of the National Hemophilia Foundation is holding their annual Unite for Bleeding Disorders Walk next Saturday, October 7th at 9 a.m. at Floyd Lamb Park. Find out the details or register to walk at uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. That's uniteforbleedingdisorders.org. The Shriners Children's Open PGA Tour Golf Tournament to support Shriners International is happening October 9th to October 15th at TPC Summerlin. Get your tickets, be a sponsor, or find out more at ShrinersChildrensOpen.com. That's ShrinersChildrensOpen.com. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, October 9th at 8 p.m. benefiting Las Vegas Breast Cancer Warriors, and Monday, October 23rd at 8 p.m. benefiting Kids Uplifting Kids. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Shade Trees Once Upon a Gala fundraising events happening Thursday, October 12th at 7 p.m. with the VIP Secret Garden Soiree starting at 5:30 in the Zouk Nightclub at Resorts World Las Vegas. This fairy tale inspired event includes a live and silent auction benefiting the Shade Trees mission to provide safe shelter to domestic violence and human trafficking survivors and their children. Get your gala tickets or find out more at theshadetree.org. That's theshadetree.org. The 10th Annual Safe Neighborhood Youth 3-on-3 Basketball Tournament, presented by the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation, is taking place on Saturday, October 21st from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the UNLV Student Rec and Wellness Center. The 3-on-3 basketball tournament provides Valley children from 6 to 12 years old with an opportunity to interact with police in a fun way while developing life skills such as teamwork and sportsmanship. It's free to sign up at tinyurl.com/LVMPD3-on-3. That's the number 3. So tinyurl.com/LVMPD3-on-3. Or find out more about the LVMPD Foundation at lvmpdfoundation.org. lvmpdfoundation.org. The 13th Annual NF Hope Concert to support research for neurofibromatosis, or NF, is happening Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. at the Smith Center. This concert featuring top Las Vegas performers is produced by Jeff Lebo, formerly of the Jersey Boys and currently with the Formers. Find out more, view the auction packages, or buy your concert tickets at nfhope.org. That's nfhope.org. Green Our Planet's next Giant Student Farmers Market's happening Wednesday, October 25th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Clark County Government Building in downtown Las Vegas. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens. Student farmers will be there to sell their produce and crafts to the public, with all proceeds returning to the schools to amplify and preserve the school's garden programs. Find out more at greenourplanet.org. That's greenourplanet.org. Project 150's annual fall celebration fundraising party is happening on Thursday, October 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Illuminarium. This immersive 12th annual charity celebration promises to be a fun party with MC Chet Buchanan from 98.5 KLUC and live music by Zoe Bowie. Get your tickets at project150.givesmart.com. That's project150.givesmart.com. And find out more about Project 150's work with disadvantaged high school students at project150.org. Project150.org. The Putting for a Cure Driving to End FSHD Golf Tournament, which funds progress for FSHD muscular dystrophy, takes place on Saturday, October 28th at the Wild Horse Golf Club in Henderson. Find out more about the society at fshdsociety.org. That's fshdsociety.org. And sign up to golf or be a sponsor at give.fshdsociety.org/puttingforacure. That's F-O-R-E. So give.fshdsociety.org/puttingforacure. And Communities and Schools of Nevada is holding their annual Today for Tomorrow Gala with a Lace Up for the Future theme on Friday, November 3rd at 6 p.m. at Chaos Nightclub in the Palms Casino Resort. This year's event honors President Nikki Fargus and the 2022 World Champion Las Vegas Aces, and the theme celebrates sneakerhead culture, so you're encouraged to incorporate sneakers into your wardrobe. Get tickets or find out more at cisnevada.org. That's cisnevada.org.